Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Tes. We begin on the second time, line from the top, Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, with the words Omar Rava. At the end of yesterday's share, we brought down an idea from Rava that a person has to say, Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem V'Hadadei. You have to say it all together because it is inappropriate to separate the Shem of Hashem from the statement at the beginning, Baruch Haba. So therefore, you must say it all together, Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem. And then we have this line in parentheses, the Rav Safra had commented on that, saying that that's incorrect because the idea is really obviously together, even though you don't say the words together. We said that the Marshal wasn't goris this here because he's going to be gorised at the end of today's statement. So we have a very similar statement at the beginning of today's share. Omer Rava. Rava said, a person, when he's saying, the greatest statement that we have in all of davening, people sometimes aren't aware that the saying of Yeheshmei Rabba is the most important part of the davening, more important than Kedusha, more important than any Amen, and that is a tremendous Kiddush Hashem to say this out loud and with the Kavanah. And today is Rosh Chodesh Elul, Aleph Elul. When I'm dictating this, and Yitzhak Hashem, we should all try one thing. We should each try to do something simple. And maybe the simple thing that I'm going to try to do will be to say Amen Yeheshmei Rabba with a little bit more kavana, with a little bit more of an understanding how important it is that we're being Makadi Shem Shemayim Barabim. And everybody should try to pick something as we enter into Chodesh Elul that they'll do a little bit better. Pick great things. Oh, I'm going to learn Shas every week, so then you're not going to do it. And as a result, you're going to end up doing nothing. And I always was taught, pick something very, very simple. I'm going to say Asher Yotzah with a little bit more Kavanah. I'm going to daven benching from inside a bencher. These are things I've heard great Gedolim have done as their acceptance of their New Year's vow, lahavdil elef avdolos, between us and the goyim, when they take upon themselves a New Year's vow. So we should do this also as a Kabbalah that we take upon ourselves on Rosh Chodesh Elul, to at least, even if you're not going to do it the whole time, to do it just till at least Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so let's understand now the importance of Imen Yeheshmei Rabba. So Rava says, Lo lema inish Yeheshmei Rabba, a person shouldn't say Yeheshmei Rabba without saying Mevarach together with it. Bahada Mevarach, and then say Mevarach le'olam u'meyo mayah. No, the two have to go together. Ella, you have to say Yeheshmei Rabba Mevarach v'hadadeh. They have to be said together, or else you're not saying it properly. And on this, Rav Safra said, this is the part we had in parentheses yesterday. Some suggest that Rav Safra's statement goes on both. Went on the first part as well as the second part. Maybe that's why the Marshal took it out of the first place. In any event, here we definitely have Rav Safra saying, Amalei Rav Safra, Moshe. Again, Moshe, we said, was a Lashon of Gadol Hador. This is a very great praise that Rav Safra was giving to Rava. He says, even though you're a great, great Talmud Chacham, Shapi Karmas, this is a Lashon Bismi, Rashi says, a question. Really? Is that what you're saying, the Halacha? No. Elohasom Vahacha, in both cases. Now here's what we have from the Marshal that we weren't supposed to be goris at the first time, because he says in that first case that we talked about when we say Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, as well as over here with Yeheshmei Rabba Mivarach, so both of them, Elohosom V'Hocho, in both situations, Asuke Milso, it's a continuation, as Rashi says, Hol V'Kavonoso Ligmar Les Lonba, since your intention is to obviously finish off, so it's no big deal if you paused in between for a little bit, and therefore V'Les Lonba, and your concern about not doing this, and if you don't say them together, that you haven't done it correctly, is not in fact a correct concern. Okay. Now, the Gemara continues and says, Malkum Shenagu Lichwa. We said in the Mishnah that some people had the custom that they would double up every pasuk in Hallel, not only the capital Kuf Yud Ches, which is Hodel Hashem Kito, Kili Olam Chasto, but they would double up all of the kapitloch in the Hallel. Tana, we learn the following brisa. Rebbe Kofel Bo Dvorim. Rebbe would be Kofel some. Kol Dvarim means some, Rashi says, me ono vahola. He would be kofel from ono Hashem Oshia and ono Hashem Hatzlichono, and the last few paragraphs before we have Hod Lashem Kito, Kilom Chasto, so he would be marba all of those psukim. And Rabbi Elazar ben Prata, Moshe Bo Dvarim, he added a little bit more than Rabbi, he added on, doubled up some of the other psukim kapitloch in Hallel as well. Gemara says, what was his actual practice? Ma Mosif, how much did Rabbi Elazar ben Prata add to what Rabbi was kofel? So Abai said, he was Mosif lichvo me'oducha ulamata. He concluded Kapitul Kuf Yud Ches with the words, oducha ki anisani vatihi li lishua. So he was doubling up every one of those. And that's why I'm in it today, that we double up every one of those words as well. We read the last four psukim in that paragraph. We double up each of them. We say them twice. And then we do afterwards, we say the On Hashem's, we double that up. And then we double up the psukim right after On Hashem until Hod L'Hashem Ki Tov, which is the last part that we double up. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, those that had the custom levariach, those that had the minhag to make the bracha, and as we pointed out then in here, where I got it from the Gemara, those had the custom to say the bracha achrona, after the halal, they would say that bracha at the end. And the custom to say, Yalucha, Brucha Toshem, Melchum, Loba, Tishvachos, Yivar, they have a right to do so. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Lo Shonu El Yacharov. So this is only a question of the minhag afterwards, the bracha at the end of halal, Yalucha, etc., which we said yesterday is part of the actual bracha itself. They can't be mafsik in that paragraph to answer amen, for example, or things like that. It's part of the bracha. But the bracha beforehand, avol lefanav, the bracha, asheker shem asav v'sivon l'kroos ha-halel, so then mitzvah levarach, that is not a custom. There you must make a bracha on the halel. Don't review the Amar Shmuel, because review the said name of Shmuel, call a mitzvah, school and levarach alein, over lasi yosem, because we know, but before you do a mitzvah, so the rabbis instituted that you make a bracha before you do a mitzvah. So the vast majority of brachos are midi rabbanon. The only exceptions, we mentioned this many times, are birchas ha-torah and the benching. Possibly also alamichya, and some say only the alamichya that we say on grains, as opposed to the other bracha achas mein shalosh that we say on, let's say, fruits of Eretz Yisrael or on wine. In any event, those are the only brachas of the daraisa. The rest are all the rabbanon, and the rabbis instituted that before you do a mitzvah, you should always make the bracha over lasios, and immediately, right prior to doing the mitzvah, you should make the bracha. And now the Gemara is going to know this lashon of over lasios. This is a discussion you can see in Os. Hey, in the Masor Shas, we find in a number of places in Shas, a couple of times in Psachim, in Megillah, in Nida, and this discussion, we have it in abbreviated form over here. The more we ask, my mashma, the high over, this word that we use, over lasios, it means right immediately prior to doing the mitzvah, you make the bracha. How do we know that that word over means lishna de akadumehu? How do we know that it means you do it right prior immediately to doing the mitzvah? Maybe it means that I'm going to do the mitzvah in an hour, so I'll say the bracha now, and then when I get a chance to do the mitzvah, I don't want to forget making the bracha. When I get the chance to do the mitzvah, I'll do the mitzvah. No, you must do it right away. I always give a very practical example. So if you're drinking a glass of soda, you make the bracha after you opened up the bottle of soda, and you poured it into your cup, and you hold the cup in your right hand. That's called over lasiyos, and now you make the shakol and the ebed varo. But you don't make it too early, and you certainly don't make it after you drink. Although, halach lemaisa, if you still haven't finished drinking, you forgot to make the bracha, as long as you still have something to make the bracha on, then you make the bracha at that point in time, too. But lechatrila, you should make it right prior before drinking. You hold, as we mentioned already previously several times as well, you always hold the chayfetz of the mitzvah in your right hand, at least if you're a righty, as most people are, and you make the shahakal, let's say, with the soda, and then you drink it. But you have to have it poured first, because you need it to be over lasiyosin. Now, where do we see this from? How do we know that the word over lasiyosin means immediately, right prior, before doing the mitzvah? Now, the word that we have is de'omar, but elsewhere we have this discussion, it just says, we have three opinions over here. The first one will be Omar Rav Nachman Yitzchok. Omar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, he says, it's based upon the famous pasuk where Nebuch, Yoav, had to tell David HaMelech that Avshalom, his son, died. Yoav wasn't supposed to kill Avshalom, and they ended up killing Avshalom. And David HaMelech was heartbroken because he loved Avshalom, despite the fact that Avshalom rebelled against him. So he sent the Chsiv Vayoretz Achimatz Derech HaKikor Vayavor LaKushi. So Yoav had sent this Kushi, a certain person, to go and inform David HaMelech. But Achimatz, he was in a rush to go tell over the bad news, which a person shouldn't be in a rush to do so. Gemara comments on this, that it's not a good idea to be the first one to tell bad news. Everybody somehow likes it. Oh, did you hear so-and-so died? Oh, did you hear this happen? So people, unfortunately, like to tell over interesting material. And Nebuch, when it's bad material, you shouldn't be in a rush to tell it over. In any event, Achimatz ran ahead by Yavor El Esakushi. So he ran ahead of, immediately before, this Kushi, who was supposed to tell David HaMelech. So Achimatz went and told David HaMelech. So here's where we see this lashon of Yavor Esakushi means immediately right before. The second answer that we get for this right now is from Abaye. Abaye Amar Mehochi says, this is the derivation. It says, by Yaakov Avinu, v'hu avar lifnehem. Yaakov went in front of all of his wives and his children when he went to greet Esav, so he went first. And therefore, it says, v'hu avar lifnehem. He went immediately before them, and that's what we see it. Alternately, Abaye says, v'boi seim mehocha. Or you can learn that from this pasuk. V'yavor malkom lifnehem. This should be fulfilled soon. It's a prophecy from Micha, where it says that when Mashiach comes, he's going to lead us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, the Shechina, will be right in front of him. So, Vayavor Malkom Lufnehem, Vashem Berosham. The Mashiach is going to come, he's Malkom, but Hashem will be ahead of him. So it says, Vayavor Malkom Lufnehem, the king goes right in free, immediately in front of everybody else, with Hashem right in front of him, and therefore, this is another source for Over Lasios, it means immediately right before him. Now we go to the next Mishnah, which is again very important halacha this year, especially when we today with Rosh Chodesh Elul, many of the halachas of Shemitah start in Eretz Yisrael. They're not allowed to do already things from today. We had the exception that halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, we learned the other day that for the Etz and Etios, that when you plant the 10 saplings within the base saw, within the 2,500 square amos, so then you're allowed to still till it and take care of that field during Elul of the year prior to the Shemitah. But for all other things, you're not allowed to go right now and plow and water and do all sorts of things in Eretz Yisrael, except done in the proper way to be Makayim. You're not allowed to grow anything new, but you're allowed to be Makayim, trees and things that are already there. But everything has to be done with compliance, of course, with the halacha. So today really starts the halachas. When I'm dictating this, the halachas of Shemitah start this year in Eretz Yisrael. And as we get more and more of Klai Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, so then many of the dinim that we currently are accustomed to in Eretz Yisrael, different opinions about how you can, I don't want to use the term get around the Shemitah, but how you can observe the Shemitah with certain heterim, they may go away as the majority of Klai Yisrael actually lives in Eretz Yisrael. And that could make the Ovel have to be a Din Daraisa, and that could certainly make many of the aspects of Shemitah into a Daraisa rather than a Darabonin. So we're living in a very, very interesting time, and Be'ezes Hashem Mashiach will come and he will give us all the answers to these questions. In any event, this Mishnah is going to teach us a Din of Shvius. So it says, Halokeach Lulav Mechaveiro B'Shvius. If you're buying a Lulav and Esrog in Eretz Yisrael, this year, this is going to be nafkamina. So when you're purchasing a lulav from chaveiro, now that's the girsa that we have. But Rashi points out that's the incorrect girsa, because as Rashi points out in Dibra Maschal, halokeach lulav mechaveiro, li nira, Rashi says, da lokeach lulav meyamo aretz garsina. The real girsa of this mission should be if a person purchases, lokeach means he purchases a lulav meyamo aretz. That you're buying this from an amo aretz, we'll see that's important, because an amo aretz is suspected that he doesn't know how to properly take care of Shvius, and that is going to be your fault. That you're going to be putting the stumbling block in front of the Amoritz if he now has money that was supposed to be for Shvius Kedusha and he doesn't treat it properly, or an item that is supposed to be given to him that has Kedusha Shvius, and if he doesn't take care of it properly, a little bit you're held accountable because you put a stumbling block in front of him. So Rashi says the correct gears over here should be Halokeach Lulav Me Am Ha'aretz, not from Chaveiro, because he says we don't call an Am Ha'aretz a Chaver. The Am Ha'aretz, Kamayri, we're obviously dealing with an Am Ha'aretz, as Gemara will explain, Kedamrin of Gemara. The Am Ha'aretz Legabe Chaver Lo Kori Le Chaveiro. In regards to Chaver, which is a Talmud Chacham, he wouldn't call an Am Ha'aretz his Chaver. Right? It's just an important additional lesson that we learn out here from Rashi. So it says, So if a person has bad neighbors, if a person has good friends that are unfortunately amaratzim and they're leading him astray, so that's what's going to happen. Nebuch, they're going to lead him astray. So don't call them your friends. You can be nice to them. Obviously, you treat them with respect. You don't make fun of them. You try to be makari them. But they shouldn't be your best friends. The person has to be very careful who he hangs out with. And if you hang out with Amaratzim, you may have to do it for business reasons or for social reasons or whatever, but they're still not your friends. Your colleagues with them, maybe. Your associates, we're friendly with them, but they're not your friends. Very important idea from Rashi. And he says that's why the girsa should be over here, halokeach meyam ha'aretz, and not halokeach mechaveiro. And the Gemara says, V'ilokeach nami amaretz mitzayislan. Oh, so maybe both of them are amaratzim. So one amaretz calls the other amaretz his friend. No, that says that it wouldn't be over here. The case wouldn't get off the ground. In any event, so you're purchasing a lula from an Am Ha'aretz, and it's the Shemitah year, in the Shvius year. So this year, somebody's going to go buy after Rosh Hashanah, he's going to buy his Dalag Minim. So when you purchase your Dalag Minim this year from an Am Ha'aretz, so no thing lo esrog u'matana. The Am Ha'aretz has to give you the esrog for free. Now, of course, you can be charged more for the lulav. So a set costs $50, $100. So whatever the set costs, so you say, I'm paying for the lulav, right? And the esrog comes along for free. Because you're not allowed to go and take it from him during the Shemitah year, because that money then takes upon itself the Kedusha of Shvius. And this Am Ha'aretz is not going to know how to take care of it properly, and it's going to lead to him being over doing business with Shemitah things and not taking care of the money properly. And you're going to be held accountable. As Rashi points out, this is going to be your problem. The next Rashi, Dira Maschel, Ein Mosrin, so he says, you're going to be over the Karba Alif Ne'iver, Lo Siten Milchshol, because you didn't do this properly. So therefore, you should specifically tell him, according to many, you have to say, I'm not taking the, I'm not paying you for the Yesrog. Yesrog you're giving me for free. No, the whole bundle, I'm paying for everything, and it's $100. But the Yesrog I'm getting for free. Okay. Gemara starts off and says, "Lo ratzel liten lo b'matar ma'u." This person is an amaretz. He's not a bad person, but he just doesn't know halacha. He says, "Hey, what are you trying to get away with? You're trying not to pay for the esrog? No, the esrog is $50. You got to pay the $50 for the esrog. No, if he doesn't want to do that, what should you do?" So I'm a Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, in that situation, mavliya le dinei esrog belulav. So then you tell him, "Okay, I'm buying the whole kit and caboodle for $100. Don't break it up and say the esrog is $50, the lulav is $20, that dasim is $10, the arava is $20, whatever the number comes out to be $100. No, I'm paying you for the whole kit and caboodle $100. That's what, okay, he won't object to that. He says, okay, he's not trying to pull a fast one over me. He's paying me $100. He asked for $100, so that's fine. So therefore, in this situation, he says, Amar Rav Huna, Mavliya Lei Demei Esrog Belulav. So he says, in this situation, you give him the total price, and in this way, you're not paying specifically for the Esrog, and no money has Kedusha Shvius of the Esrog. Where it says, but just do it. The lace of labor had you. Why don't you just say, here's $50 for the esrog? What's the problem with that? So I've already given the answer. Lefishei Mosrim, Demei Peros, Shvius, Yam Aris. Because it's a problem. You're now giving him the money for this esrog, so that $50 that you just gave him for the esrog has Kedushas Shvius. And you're only allowed to spend it in certain ways for certain things. And if you don't know all the rules, and it's an Am Aris, doesn't know all the rules, it's going to lead to him being over. And therefore, you are over. Lifnei Iver, Lo Sitein Mechshol, for not teaching him properly, so therefore, get around the problem. Don't give him the money for the esrog. Where do we know this from? The Tanya, where it says, this is a Braisa. The Braisa says, Beferish, Ein Mosrim Demei Peros Shvius Li Ama Aretz. We don't go give over the money for the Peros Shvius to the Ama Aretz, because he's not going to know what to do with them. But, obviously, you have to give him, you can't not buy anything from him. So Yosem Yimazon Shalosh Sudos. So the rabbis instituted, because for Shabbos, some stomach is going to buy it right now, and he's not going to keep it and buy a shirt with it, and then it'll be a problem. So therefore, most people, they need three meals for Shabbos. So that you're allowed to go, okay, I buy some food from you, and you can buy three meals worth of food with that money that I'm buying from you. That you're allowed to do. And Tosfos points out, since once we like to do it for Shabbos, we like to do it on a weekday as well, even though on a weekday you only have two meals. So this Braisa tells us that when you are giving an Amar Aretz, who is not intentionally bad, he just doesn't know the halachos. So here in this situation, when you're buying something from him that is Demei Peirush Shemitah, Demei Peirush Shvius, so only buy from him a limited amount, enough for three meals. Let's say three meals is $10 a meal, so it's $30, so you can buy $30 worth of fruit from him without it being a concern of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol, because Mistami is going to use that to buy food, and that's what you are allowed to take the money of Shemitah with and go buy food. That food will now get the Kedusha of Shvius on it, but that he's going to eat right now for that Shabbos. Now, what happens if he didn't do it right? The Emosar, if you gave it to him and you bought $50, $100 worth, more than three meals worth, so Yomer, then you should tell the Amaretz, Harei Moz Halalu Yumuchalalin Al Peros Cheyesh Li Besoch Beisi. So then he should say, say it to himself, so I'm now exchanging the Kedusha of that money on fruits that I have in my house. So let's say he bought $100 worth of fruit from him, which was more than he was allowed to. He was only allowed to buy $30 worth of fruit. So either it's a knas, according to one opinion in Tosos, that we make him have a knas because it really doesn't work, so it's just a knas. Or others say, no, it actually works, and he can now exchange, even without the Am Aretz's permission or willingness, that $100 which has Kedusha Shvius, it now will go on $100 worth of fruit that he has in his house. And this $100 of fruit that he now has in his house, either as a knas or as a real din, now has Kedushas Peros Shvius, and therefore the Chacham, the Talmud Chacham, will know how to take care of that properly and make sure that no Takola comes to the Kedusha that is now Chal on the Peros that he has in his house. That's what the Gemara says to do. If the fact you didn't do this correctly, so here's a way to make it up, either as a real Takana, or Tosfos says possibly as a Knas. We turn to Lama Tesa with Beis. And then, as I just pointed out, I should have read this first, Uvav Ochlam B'Kedusha Shvius. He then has to go and take this $100 worth of fruit that he has in his house and give it the full Kedusha Shvius, and in this way, nobody will be over any problems. Now, under what circumstances are we talking about that you're allowed to give the Amar Aretz three meals worth of money? So you can buy $30 in my example of $10 a meal, so you can buy $30 worth of fruit from him, and that's allowed. But Medvar Mamurim, that's only allowed, but Lokeach Min Hamufkar. If you're purchasing it from an Amar Aretz, who you know for a fact took it from Hefker. In other words, this wasn't a protective field of his that he wasn't allowing people to go and take from. As Rashi points out in Dibro Masal B'Medvar Mamurim, this case of the Mazum Gimel Sudos, you're allowed to go and take from him is only if you know that this Amaretz took it min hamufkar. You saw that he took it from an abandoned field. In other words, all the fields are not allowed to be watched during the Shemitah year. Everybody has to let anybody come in and take whatever they want because you don't own it during the Shemitah year. Shiroa chaver zeh. This chaver saw. Shenech Shinislatku Peros Halalu Bisod Hamovka. He sees the Amoritz collecting it from Yanko's field. It's not the Amoritz's field. He went to take it from a Mufka field. He understands that this is Perishimita. Shein Amoritz there, Shomro. This Amoritz wasn't hiding and protecting his own produce. He just took it all. He knows it's Shemitah. Ho, lo renew Choshud, since we didn't see him doing something wrong. So then, Mutu Limsalo Ma'at. Then you can give him a little bit, because the problem only here is not that he's Choshud on Ashvias, is that he doesn't know the dinim. So if you only give him a little bit, there's no way he'll be over the Isser. However, avo lo harbe, you still shouldn't do a lot, shalote eino tzara latznia. Because if you give him a lot of money, he says, whoa, this is going to wait for a rainy day. He's going to put away $100, he's going to put it away for a rainy day, and then he's going to end up, it still has kedusha shvius, and he's going to buy a shirt with it, he's going to buy other things with it, you're not going to buy it with shmita peros. However, Mara says that's if you know that he bought it, if he took the fruit from a field that was mufkar, because then it's not a concern that he's choshed on shmita. However, avo belokeach ben hamashumar, if you saw this Amoritz take it from his field, and he says, I'm not letting anybody in my field, this is my field, and he has guards there, and he has locks on his field, and nobody can come in and take from it, so then, afilu kechatzi iser also, then, even a little bit, you can't purchase such a person, because this person certainly is not observing Shemitah, and you're not allowed to give him anything to be Messiah l'dvar aveira, you can't do anything with him. Some suggest two interpretations over here, afilu kechatzi iser is also, implying that less than that is such a small amount that even there, the rabbi said it's okay. And others say, no, this is an expression. Just like we say, afilu be'elef lo batel. Sometimes say something's not batel in 1,000. What, is it 1,001 it is batel? No, it means that it's not batel. And just using a large example, if even in 1,000 it's not batel, but even in 5,000 it's not batel. So to over here, we say, oh, you can't even buy a chatzi issa's worth, which is a half a penny's worth, a very small amount. But even a half a penny you're not allowed to buy, or even less than that you're not allowed to buy. So that's two ways to understand what kechatzi issa osur means. Okay. Now we question this entire discussion. Masa Roshesh says, wait a second. Umin ha-mufkar, from a field that's mufkar, you're only allowed to purchase 3 sudos? Is that the maximum amount? We're not Hoshesh that this Amoritz is doing something, the Isser Gomor, that he's taking from a Meshumer field, a watched field, and he's being choshed on shvius, and he's not careful. But if it's from a mufka field, then you can only purchase 3 sudos. From a meshuma field, you can't even purchase a chatzi isser. Is that really true? Rishesh says that's not true. Umin ha-mufkar, it's only 3 sudos. It's too low. I'll show you that that's not true, because we have a Mishnah in shvius that says otherwise. The Mishnah in shvius tells us about various types of produce. The common denominator between all these different types of produce is that they're all going to be Pturim in a Meiser. As Rashi points out, this is talking about nothing to do with Shemitah year. In a regular year, they're Pturim in a Meiser. Why? Because She'enon Chashuvim Elabriyas. This is Rashi, Dibra Maskel Pturim. We haven't read it yet, but I'm telling you the general common denominator to make it a little bit easier to understand this Mishnah. So he says that all of these are not considered Chashuvim Elabriyas. Most people don't consider these worthwhile to go and grow and protect. And they just take them from the wild. Because Umafkirin Oson Lekol, the Hefker, Pturim in a Meiser. And therefore, nobody really owns these fields. It's not worth your while. You know, it's such a low yield, so it's going to cost you $20 a day to harvest this field, and you'll only make $15 from it. So therefore, you just say it's hefker. Okay, it grew, and it's hefker, and anybody wants to come take it, gives them a day, because I'm not making money off selling this. So that's the common denominator in all of these things by meiser. So the question will be, by shmita, the same din applies also. It's not considered something that you have to have any limitations on, and that will be the kasha. You're telling me that there's a limitation of only 3 meals? I'll show you from this Mishnah in Shavuos that you can even buy more than 3 meals. It doesn't make any mention of only 3 meals. What is this Mishnah? Ha-pegum. Pegum is a certain type of produce. Rashi goes and gives us foreign language words for all of these words. It's various types of grass. Esav Shekor and Ruda. And in the Laz, he says that this is min Esav Mar. It's a certain type of bitter herb that has green flowers on it. And the next one is something called Yarbuzin. Rashi says Yarbuzin is also a foreign language word, and others have it called Idlish or Niflash. Vein Asavim, they're also different types of grasses. Taimam Karam Lulavi Gefanim, and they have a taste to them that's similar to the palm fronds. Rashi, in the explanation of these foreign language words, the Lazi Rashi tell us that these grow in gardens, they're green vegetables, and they're eaten by people, they're edible. The next one is fashitin. It's again a foreign language word that Rashi uses, another type of vegetable. And elsewhere, Rashi says this is asparagus, which has nothing to do with asparagus, but it's a certain type of vegetable known as asparagus. The next one is vachalag logos. Rashi tells us again a foreign language word for this, which the Laz on Rashi tells us is something known as regila. Okay, so again, certain type of vegetable. The next one that we have over here is kuzbar shebaharim. Kuzbar shebaharim is the coriander. That's a word that many, at least we know in English. So it's something known as coriander. Aliyandra, and who God the baharim, it grows in the mountains. Avo kuzbar shogina chashavu, but the oleander that grows in the valleys, in the gardens, that's already chashavu, and that people do watch, and that would be chayv in trumas and maisus. The next one is Vakarpos Shibinaharos. This, Rashi tells us, is a foreign language word known as Kress. Abo Shogin Chashu. Again, the ones that grow by the rivers, they're not important. The ones that grow in the gardens are important. Others say this is something known as Afya. And Rashi says, but it doesn't grow in the Naharos. He's not sure exactly what that interpretation is. In any event, there are foreign language explanations for these words. And again, there's certain types of insignificant vegetables. Then he adds, the Mishnah adds, Vagargir shel afar. This is something Rashi tells us is ruga, which the Lazi Rashi tell us is a gargir, a cluster of some sort of vegetables. Hagdela ba'acho, that grow in the swamp. But again, the ones in the garden are considered significant and aren't included there. That's why they have these adjectives here to tell us which types are insignificant. So the ones that are from the afar are all of these that we just mentioned are peturin ha-maiser. They have no obligation to take maiser because people make them hefker, and hefker is patur min ha-maiser. Likewise, v'nikochem mikol adam b'shvi'is, and you're allowed to purchase them from anybody during Shemitah year, b'fi she'en kayotzi b'hem nishwa, because you nobody that goes and protects these and is mishamer them all year long, all the years long, and certainly not during the Shemitah year. They're worthless. They're not worth the trouble to go and harvest them and protect them. So people need a little bit. They go take a little bit. And therefore, it doesn't mention anything about three meals over here. This is the kasha from Rav Sheshis, finally we're getting to. We just said that if it's something that comes from a hefker, you're only allowed to purchase from him three meals. But here it doesn't say that. So the Gemara says, "Who most of love, who mafark love?" Rav Sheshis asked the question, and he answered the question himself. Bichdei mon shanu, that we're dealing over here in this Mishnah, that it means the amount that you need to eat, which is three meals worth. You can't, even though the Mishnah didn't say so in Shviyas, it means three meals worth. V'chein omar Rabba bar Barchana, omar Yochanan. Likewise, Rabba bar Barchana said the same exact statement in the name of Rav Yochanan, that we're dealing over here with bichdei mon shanu. We're dealing over here with that this is the amount that a person needs to, quote, sustain himself. This is considered something that is significant. Now, where do we get this idea that kidei mon shanu, that this is a significant amount of mazon for the person, mon for the person? So where do we see this from? Bechdei mon shanu. Where do we see this, that it means that? My mash with the high mon lish to mazoni hu. Where do we see that the word mon means mazonos? So it says, d'chsid, because the pasuk tells us, v'yaman lehem ha-melech v'gomer. This is talking about in Daniel, that Daniel provided all these young statesmen that he was training. Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, the Azariah, they were all teenagers. They were brought into the service of the state, representing the Jewish people by Dayavesh, the local king, and before that by other kings. So they would basically be the statesmen representing the Jewish people. So they had to be given food. And it says, Vayaman, he gave them food. Now, I think it possibly is that this is one of the roots that we have for mun, for the mun hamantashen, for example, being referred to as mun. So why they call that? So the answer is that Daniel and the others said, we don't want to eat any treifas, so give us just these zera. So they gave him these types of mun, these types of seeds, and therefore that's where they get the name mun from. And that's why we have the minhag to have these mun hamantashen on Purim, for example, because we know that Daniel died on Purim. There is an opinion that says Daniel was Memuchan, and therefore that's one of the reasons to be reminding us of this great idea that they didn't want to eat treifas, and they only ate the zera that was given to them. They said, we'll survive fine, don't give us any treifas, just give us these seeds, and therefore, Vayiman lohem ha-melech, he gave them this to sustain them. In any event, we see that this is the lashon of mazon. Okay, Gemara says, wait a second. We just said now that the whole reason why you're not allowed to go and purchase the esrog from the Am Haaretz is because he's going to end up not using the money that you give him properly. He's going to have Kedusha Shvius, and he's not going to know it properly, so therefore, only buy the lulav. Gemara says, Ihachi, lulav nami. But wait a second. The lulav also has Kedusha attached to it. Now, the lulav is not edible, so we'll learn in tomorrow's year why the lulav has Kedusha of Shvius attached to it. So a little bit complicated, I don't want to say it right now. We'll wait till Mietz Hashem we get to tomorrow. But right now, take it as a given that the Lulav also has the same exact problem as the Esrog. So how does it help us to say, okay, the Esrog I'm not buying, I'm just buying the Lulav? Well, the Lulav also has the same exact problem. How are you allowed to give the Amoritz $50 for the Lulav, $100 for the Lulav, and say, well, the Esrog I got for free? Well, what about the Lulav? That has Kedusha Shvius for the money that you gave him for the Lulav as well. So Gemara says, no. Lulav is not Shemitah, because the Lulav goes after the Sixth. When are you buying this? You're buying this in the month of Tishrei. You're buying the Dalaminim right before Sukkot. So Shemitah just started on Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, the Lulav has been growing for a while, and therefore the Lulav has a status of being a sixth year, not a seventh year product. And therefore, the sixth year Lulav has no Kedusha Shvius to it. Lulav Bar Shishis, HaNichnas L'Shviusu. Okay, now it's the Shemitah year, but it's still considered a sixth year produce. You have apples from last year, so we don't say, oh, now they have Kedusha Shvius. No, they're a sixth year apple, and therefore they have no Kedusha from them. Likewise, the lulav, even though it's in the seventh year that you're purchasing it, but it has halachically the status of a sixth-year fruit, and therefore it doesn't have kedusha shvius, and that's what you're purchasing, the lulav. Gemara says, if that's so, then why don't we say the same thing about the esrog? The esrog is growing, and it's a sixth-year esrog, and it's not a shmita esrog. Ihachi esrog nami bashishis hanechneses l'shviusi. So then the same thing should apply by the esrog. Why don't we say it applies to the esrog as well? So Gemara says, no. The Esrog we consider a seventh year. The Lulav we consider a sixth year. Esrog bosar lekita azlina. The Esrog, you look at when it's picked. Mestama, they picked it after Rosh Hashanah. So they picked it in the Shemitah year. So if they pick it in the Shemitah year, the Esrog is a Shemitah Esrog. However, the Lulav, even though they may pick it in the seventh year, it halachically goes after the sixth year, because you go after the Chanota. You go after when it blossoms, so to say. And therefore, you have the paradox over here that you're buying the lulav and esrog from, and the lulav is a sixth-year fruit, no problem. And the esrog is a seventh-year fruit, yes, problem. So therefore, you're not paying for the esrog, you're only paying for the lulav. Now, the Mefarshim will point out, so next year, in the eighth year, okay, would be the first post-year Shemitah, so the lulav is a problem, the esrog is not a problem, you have to do the exact same opposite next year. So in the eighth year, in the first year of the next Shemitah cycle, you say, listen, I'm only buying the esrog, but not the lulav. The lulav you're throwing in for free. And that's so pashut and obvious that the Gemara doesn't even have to mention it. That's what the Mefarshim say. Okay. So Gemara says, why is there a distinction between the lulav being called the sixth year and the esrog being called the seventh year? So Gemara says, is that really correct? And the Gemara says, it doesn't seem to fall through. We'll have to find an opinion that holds like that, but the only two known opinions that we have right now are the opinions of Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, which the Gemara is about to tell us, and both of them disagree with this. So the Gemara says, wait a second, you're telling me that we look at the lulav as a sixth year, because it's when it's chanota, it's when it, so to say, blossoms, and the esrog, we look at the lakita, so that's when you pick it, that's the year that it's defined by. So Gemara says that doesn't hold like either of these two shitas. Well, Bein Rabbi Gamliel, Bein Rabbi Eliezer, the great machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, in regards to how do we view an esrog tree, none of them say what you just said. So they don't argue that it's Basar Lakita's Linon in regards to Shemitah. In regards to Shemitah, they all say it's after Chanota. So even though they have a machlokas in regards to Meiser, which year do you Meiser it? Do you go, for example, if it's a second year versus a third year? So if you go by the Chanota, by the blossom, it will be in the second year. But you go when you pick it, it will be in the third year. So in the second year, you take Meiser Rishon and you take Meiser Sheni. In the third year, you take Meiser Rishon and Meiser Ani. So then that's where they have their machlokas. Esrog Basa Chanotas Linan. Nobody says you go after the Lakita, and here you're telling me Esrog Basa Lakitas Linan. But these two major Mandiomas, which are the only ones that we know right now, they both say that for in regarding to Shemitah, the Esrog goes after the Chanotas. So it's a sixth year Esrog and not a seventh year Esrog. So why do you say by Lulav it's not a problem, by Esrog it's a problem? It's a problem by neither of them. They're both in the sixth year. No, in the eighth year it'll be a problem. They'll both be in the seventh year. Now, where do we see this machlokes? Linyan Shvius Esrog Basa Chanotas Linan did not. This is a Mishnah that we have in Bikurim. This Mishnah in Bikurim tells us as follows, that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel argue in one aspect about how we view an esrog. So esrog, shaveh le'ilam b'shlosha drachim, uliyerek b'derech echad. The first opinion is that an esrog has the halachic status like trees in regards to three dinim, and like a vegetable in regards to one din. What is that? Shaveh le'ilam b'shlosha drachim, in regards to a tree, an esrog is compared to a tree in three attributes. That's for the din of Arla. You go by the tree's basar, the time that it blossoms. So that's in regards to Arla. Is it within the first 3 years or not? So that's to go by when it blossoms. So if it blossomed before the Rosh Hashanah for the Ilanos, let's say it's Tu B'Shvat, so then others define this based upon the calendar year, based upon Tishrei. In any event, so if it blossomed before the start of the new year, so then that's already considered its first year, or its second year, or its third year. And now, you've already passed into the fourth year, and you have all the dinim of Netar Ravai, which will be the next thing. So in regards to Arla, is it considered within the first 3 years? In regards to Ravai, if it's the type of thing that you have to go and eat in Yerushalayim, like similar to Maaser Sheni. So in regards to these two dinim, Arla and Ravai, and also in regards to the Shemitah, Ula Shviyas, everybody says you go Basar Chanata. So here, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer both say that you go after the Chanata. So how can you tell me, this is the Kasha, Esrog Basar Lakitas Lina? Nobody holds like that. No, in regards to the fourth thing, that's where they have the machlokas. Uli yerech mederech echad. According to one of them, it will be in regards to being a vegetable, we consider the esrog like a vegetable in regard to one aspect. What does that mean? We turn to Mem Omed Aleph. Shebishas likitaso isuro. In regards to Maiser, so when you pick it, will determine what year it's in. As I said, if it's in the second year, you take Maiser Rishon and Maiser Sheni. If you picked it in the third year, then you have to take off Maiser Rishon and Maiser Ani. So that's the halacha. So according to this first opinion, which is Divri Rabban Gamliel, so it's treated, the Netzuk is treated like a vegetable in regards to Maisros. Maisros, you go by when you pick it. With the vegetables, so to over here, with the esrog, you go by when you pick it. And Yitzhak Hashem will explain why this sheet is like it is in a moment. So, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, no, even in regards to maisros, esrog shovel ilan l'chol davar. We consider an esrog like all the other trees. In other words, we treat it as basar chanota. So, in regards to maiser, that's where we have the machlokas. Rabbi Gamliel says basar lakita, and Rabbi Eliezer says basar chanota. But that's only in regards to maisos. In regards to shviyas, we said everybody's masking that you go basar chanata. So how can you tell me that there's an opinion that says that you go basar lakita in regards to the shmitah? So Gemara says, nope, there's a third opinion. We don't have it in this machlokas, but there's a third opinion. Hu di Omar, the Tana of our Mishnah, he said ki hai Tana. He holds like the following Tanoic opinion, a third Tanoic opinion, the Tanya. What is this? Amar of Yossi, or Yossi says, Av Thomas was a great Talmud Chacham, so he testified, Hayid Mishum Chamisha Zakenim, he testified in the name of five Zakenim, five Gedolei Hadar, and he said that in regards to Maiser, Esrog Achai Lakita LaMaiser, that we view the Esrog in regards to Maiser, you follow the Lakita, which is exactly the opinion of Rabban Gamliel, that in regards to Maiser, you go by the Lakita, not by the Chanota. So Rav Yossi brought down, in the name of Avtalmus, who was made in the name of these five Zakenim, exactly like the opinion of Rabban Gamliel. However, the Rabboseinu Nimnu B'Yusha, but, however, Rav Yossi says that that wasn't the popularly accepted answer. The Rabboseinu, the Sanhedrin, they Nimnu B'Usha, Usha was one of the locations, actually it was twice, that the Sanhedrin moved about 10 times after it left Yerushalayim, Nebuch by the time of the Churban. So twice it stayed in Usha, and once the Sanhedrin was in Usha, Nimnu V'amru, so they paskin the halacha l'maisa, that bein l'maisa, bein l'shviyas. Oh, here we say that it goes after the lakita, not only for maisos, like Rabbi Gamliel said, but also in regards to shmitah. So here, this opinion of the Chachamim in Usha, the Sanhedrin in Usha, that is the opinion of the Tana of our Mishnah, that by an esrog you go after the lakita. So here, the lakita was done in the 7th year, in the shmitah year, and the lulav, we go by chanata, and the lulav was in the 6th year. That's the answer to our question. So where it says, whoa, in this brisa over here, Shviyas, Mandekar Shmei, why in the world did he suddenly say, and by the Rabboseinu, they said, Bein L'Maiser, Bein L'Shviyas. What were we discussing Shviyas that they had to make the statement? We're only discussing Maiser. So Gemara says, you fill in the extra words. Chisuri Merzaval Chitani. So, in fact, this brisa, the full brisa is as follows. It has missing words to it. So the brisa is saying, Esrog Acha Lechita, Lechita L'Maiser. So this is the opinion that we brought down in the name of Rabban Gamliel and in the name of Avtalmus, in the name of the Chamisha Zakenim. So that's the first thing that he brought down. And here it mentions also Acher Chanota L'Shvius. And then Rabbi Seinu Nimnu B'Ushav Yomu. So they're responding to both the Maisa and the Shemitah. They now said, no, Esrog Basar Lakita, Bein L'Maisa, Bein L'Shvius. No, we don't distinguish it. The Esrog is always going in regards to Maisa or Shemitah, by the time of the Lakita. Now, we're somewhat in the middle of this sugya, but this is a good break point. We still have to explain the source and understanding for these shitos, and I'll have a bunch more questions about it tomorrow in Yirtzeh Hashem. But with this, we conclude today's shir.